Welcome to the Know How Podcast, the only podcast to give you access to top tips, recruiting stories, and insider info here at Impellum. So sit back and turn the volume up. On this episode of Diary of a Serial Biller, we meet with Chris Hart, Lorien Sales Academy Master, who fills us in on how self-development equals success. From being honest with yourself, concentrating on only your numbers, and sticking to the process, all while being supported by the team's culture, coaching style, and community.
Okay, so welcome to this P&D podcast. My name's Ian, and today I'm joined by our special guest, Chris Hart, who'll be talking about the importance of personal development in the workplace. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hiya. I am Chris Hart. I am one of the delivery directors, or the delivery director for Lorien Specialist Markets, as well as our academy training lead, as I decided to call myself.
Perfect. Perfect, Chris. And how long have you been with Lorien now for, Chris?
I've been with Lorien. It'll be coming up to it'll be 2 years either next month or in July. I can't remember if I started June or July, but yeah, pretty much 2 years.
Okay, good stuff. So you're a delivery director in Lorien, You also played a key and a pivotal role in the development and delivery of a program called the Academy.
Yeah.
How and why was this something that you kind of got involved with? Can you take our listeners through a bit of detail on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think it comes from my background, really. So I was hired into Lorien to be a delivery director because of my background across things like infrastructure, data security, DevOps, all that kind of stuff. And I was hired to build out like an extra delivery team that would sit across LSM and Lorien Corp or managed services. And I've done a lot of training and built teams out from scratch in the past. And basically, Bill, my boss, just ran the idea by me and said, and I've only been in the company for 2 months. I hadn't really done anything yet, to be honest. And he was like, do you fancy building out an academy for us? And I was like, yeah, of course, yeah. And he's like, well, go on then. I mean, create one. So that was pretty much it. So I basically designed it all from scratch, pretty much. And took it from there. But yeah, it was really, really, really early days. Like I said, I've been in the company 2 months. I think I'd made zero hires at that point. I might have had one or two people, done a few deals just to get my feet under the table, but I'd barely been in the company, and all of a sudden I was given this, you're now going to train our new graduates and you're going to design the program and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, is this a trick? Is this a test? Is this or what? But no, yeah, it's gone really well.
So it's obviously an important role that you've been kind of set up with there, you know, the development of our employees. Now, the academy is designed for new starters, is that right?
So is anyone new coming into Lorien in a delivery based role? So it's been mainly people, I'd say like 98% of the people that have come into it have had no recruitment experience. There's been the odd one that has come into it that has had, I think we had one guy that had maybe done a year somewhere else. And we've had one or two that have done like sort of 3 or 6 months somewhere else in a recruitment position. Not necessarily IT either. I think someone did pharmaceutical or something. One other person did IT. But yes, everyone that comes into it is generally new to recruitment and they're all new to Lorien. A few of them are kind of lined up to go into a BD or 360 role, but everyone starts out in a delivery function.
Yep. And what is the purpose of the Academy, Chris?
Depends who you're asking. Like, I think the powers that be, their point of view was that they wanted just a training program to get people kind of set up, onboarded and embedded into the business from someone who's potentially just trained people before. From my point of view, the purpose of it, without going into a rant this early into the podcast, is that I saw it as an opportunity to kind of right some wrongs from basically other academies that I've either sat through or witnessed.
Yeah. And what are some of the kind of key topics that are covered off within the academy?
So the academy, the way I've set it up is that it's a mix of like what I would say classroom sessions with me presenting, training, lecturing, talking at people, however you want to describe it. A mix of that as well as kind of like desk side, like them actually doing the job, me sat there with them, coaching them, right? But the way that the program is set up, like the actual schedule or the program, whatever you want to call it, is it's kind of like a sliding scale. So like right at the beginning of the 6 weeks, I don't think they're on the phones until the first part of week two. So for the first week, it's all like theory, classroom stuff, right? And then as the weeks progress, it becomes more about actually doing the job, less and less in the training room or the boardroom. There's a few refreshers thrown in there towards the end, but it also kind of follows the life cycle. So for example, there's no point in me training. I don't believe there's any point in me training them on how to close an offer in week one. It's pointless. So like the training follows the recruitment life cycle. So week one and week two is all about how to qualify a job, understanding how to qualify and interview candidates properly. And then they go start working those jobs. And then week three and four, you'll include sessions about like how to prep for interviews, how to get interview feedback. And then we get closing put in there, sort of like week five-ish. But the key ones, very long-winded way of answering your question, is that there's some fairly standard ones in there. They're still great. Like I still think I deliver them in a way that's kind of unique. Even the standard sessions, like how to qualify a candidate, I still think it's kind of unique compared to other training that I've had. But the stuff that I've put in there that I just don't think you'll get anywhere else, but not that I've been witness to, is that there's a session that I do, which I think is really, really important if people can get on board with it, is understanding the importance and the difference between information and context when it comes to qualifying candidates, qualifying jobs, closing offers, basically hearing what people are saying and how they're saying it, and asking those extra questions to get the context out of something. So there's a session I do around that. There's another session that I do, basically the methodology behind working a role. Like there's no point just blindly going into working a role and picking up the phone and calling candidates. Like there is a way to go about it. There is a theory or a science behind it. So there's a couple of things in that I put in there that I basically just kind of learned myself over the years, that what works and what doesn't work. But yeah, I'd say the key ones that are making it stand out, where I think they're actually learning how to think and actually learning how to be different, is the stuff around information context, the methodology behind working a role. And then the last one towards the end is like the closing. Again, the closing workshop that I put together, I think is a bit unique compared to other training that I've experienced or that I've witnessed.
Yeah. And just, you know, you obviously talk about things like the content which you cover within these training programs and the importance of it. But, you know, for someone's personal development as a recruiter, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've come across and that you're seeing that our newer recruiters are facing within the first, say, 6 months of their time, in the role?
First of all, themselves. I think something I've seen over the years is that, and I actually say this to the academy lot, I think I even say on day one, not that I'm deliberately trying to scare them, but I think recruitment's one of those jobs where it's really hard to explain to people exactly what it is without doing it. Like my friends now still say to me things like, well, you just send CVs out, right? I'm like, well, technically, yeah, right? But there's a lot more to it than that. And I think until people come in and do it, they're kind of like, well, I didn't realize it'd be kind of like this. And it's not a bad thing, it's just not what they expected. And I think I would say, and I do say this to them on day one, I think I'd say that 99% of newbies that come into it, most of them within the first 6 to 8 weeks will think that they've made the wrong decision. So I think the first challenge is that they think they can't do it. And again, I'd say most of the time they're wrong. Most of the people that have quit early doors in my career have been wrong, that they should never have quit, and they probably would have been really good at it, but they kind of, I don't know, they crumble a bit too quickly without needing to. So I think the first challenge is themselves. Like they set themselves too high expectations, they need to lower it a little bit. And the rest of it is they kind of get lost. I think you can get lost quite quickly if you're not sticking to a process. Like, our job is not just sending CVs out, as you know. Like there's so many different things involved, from qualifying jobs, working perm jobs, to contract jobs, the way you attack each job, getting on LinkedIn, using tools like Sourcebreaker, writing adverts, qualifying candidates, doing interview preps. There's so many things you might need to do in a day, and you can kind of get lost quite easily. It can be a bit overwhelming. Like, I've seen some really mentally strong candidates suddenly give that look where they're just kind of like lost and like a rabbit in headlights, because they've suddenly got interview requests coming, and a candidate pull out of an interview and they've got to write an advert, a new job's come on and all that kind of stuff, and they just kind of look a bit lost. So I think, to be honest, I think in the early days, that the biggest challenge is themselves. They kind of need to manage their own expectations, really lower their expectations, and stick to a process and just soak everything up that they get told. Just soak it all up and then it's on it. So, yeah.
Okay. And obviously, you know, discussing this, you're clearly passionate about personal development and supporting the development of others. You know, why are programs like the Academy so important for our employees?
I think they're important because, well, recruitment, recruitment's quite old school. There's still a lot of old school mentalities and thought processes out there. And not necessarily, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You know, I still use some old school, you know, kind of tactics and processes and all that kind of stuff. But there is definitely places out there that, one, don't offer any training, or two, the training, like I said, it's a bit kind of like paint by numbersy, right? And I've been at places where you just literally go, there's your phone, there's your desk, there you go, and that's it, right? And that was your training. So, and I think nowadays that the world is completely different compared to what it was like 15, 16 years ago when I started. It's different from what it was like 3 years ago, you know, when the world ended with COVID and stuff. And I think nowadays people need a bit more kind of nurturing, which is completely valid. I think people are allowed to feel like they should be happy in their jobs. You know, I come from a generation potentially where it didn't matter what your feelings were, and if you were happy or not, you were there to do a job. So I think part of it is that people need to be onboarded properly, they need to be nurtured, they need to show they're valued and all that kind of stuff. But also, you need to do your bit as employers. Like, this job is a very, very target driven job, as you know, and there is a nature of, if you don't hit targets, you could be, you know, your job could be at risk. And I think it's very unfair for employers to just put all of that pressure on the employees. You know, we've got to take some responsibility for that. And if we're not prepared to give them the best start and the best training possible, then how can we blame them? Not that we would, but you know what I mean? How can you blame people for not hitting their target if you're not willing to do your bit in the first place? So that's why I think it's really important that programs like this need to exist, and it needs to be done properly. It can't just be a crash course in recruitment and away you go. Like, people need to be nurtured, settled in, shown how it's done properly with actual help, and kind of given the best shot possible, rather than just kind of going, there you go, and away you go, and like, let me know when you've made some deals. Like, that should be how it works.
Yeah. And would you say being like curious and inquisitive around your own personal development and your own personal progression are traits that, you know, employees in general, but recruiters need to have to, you know, to kind of succeed in terms of progressing in their career?
100%. You need to, as arrogant as I may come across about the Academy and stuff, like, it was half joking. but I'm not, as my dad would say, I'm big enough and ugly enough to never think that I've made it, or that I'm necessarily the best at anything. Like, if you're not moving forward, you're standing still, right? And you should never be arrogant enough to think that you've kind of made it. Like I said, the world is changing. Like, 3 years ago, who would have thought we'd all be, you know, working from home and doing this podcast, you know, via Teams or whatever it might be, right? So you need to adapt, you need to be adaptable, and you need to be willing to kind of look at yourself and go, you know what, I've kind of messed up, or I've done this wrong, or I could do that better, or what have I fouled on today? I question myself all the time with my actual team that I've got essentially two jobs. I manage a delivery team as well as the Academy. So I question myself all the time with decisions that I make my actual team, and if I've overreacted with staff, or if I haven't reacted enough, or whatever it might be. You know, I'm always questioning myself, and I always try to learn from it and improve on it, like, immediately. I think it's really important for anyone who wants to progress in their career. You can't just turn up and think that just getting CVs out is enough. And I'm not saying you have to work every hour that God sends, because you never should. You know, I'm all up for working the hours that you're paid for, and as long as you can get your job done in between that, then you've got a life to live outside of that. But if you're just going to kind of come in and do the basics and not kind of take any responsibility for, you know, willing to change and willing to learn, all that kind of stuff, then yeah, you won't progress. You'll get lucky and you'll make placements and stuff, but you'll see other people progress much quicker than you, because they're more open-minded and willing to admit that they've made mistakes, so they could do better at other things.
Yeah. Okay. That was really good advice. And I mean, obviously you've been around in recruitment in general for a long time, you know, vastly experienced, and you've seen, no doubt,
I'm old. Are you saying I'm old?
That's a subtle way of, you know, well, mate, we're probably both dinosaurs at this point in the world of recruitment. Yeah. But you've seen a lot of recruiters come through the ranks, and you know, some of those recruiters have gone on to be extremely successful, and some of those recruiters haven't, and unfortunately they haven't kind of made it through and progressed within their careers, and maybe they've gone to look for something else. What advice would you give to a recruiter who's maybe, you know, not performing, you know, to their own expectations, as you kind of stated? Maybe they're underperforming, they might be struggling. What advice would you give to a recruiter that isn't quite where they feel they need to be at that point?
First of all, they need to be honest with themselves. Like, again, I've been in a management role for longer than I haven't, basically. And I've had plenty of those conversations over the years, and you'd be surprised how many conversations you have with people that aren't performing, that are surprised that they're not performing. They're like, oh, but I'm just doing all the things that, you know. It's like, well, if you're performing exactly the same level every day, then yeah, it's all right when things are going well. But if you're only going to perform at the same level when things aren't going well, then it should be no surprise that things aren't improving. But I would say, first of all, yeah, anyone who's going through that right now, it's, you know, first of all, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up too much, but be honest with yourself. Like, and you need to look at, and what I mean by being honest with yourself is, look at your own numbers. Forget everyone else. I always say to people, never compare yourself to anyone else, because you don't know what situation you're in, you don't know what jobs they're working, or whatever it might be. Don't worry about anyone else's numbers. Worry about your numbers. You know, the math doesn't lie. And be honest with yourself. So if you're, first of all, if you're not sticking to the process that you were taught, be honest about it, because that might be one of the reasons. Look at how many calls you're making a day. And I'm not saying you have to make hundreds of calls a day. I've never been a big caller. But if you're not making hardly any calls a day, if you're not sticking to a process, if you're not turning CVs around or getting CVs out the door within sort of 24 hours of getting a job, and if you're not hitting your CV targets of the week, et cetera, then there's going to be a reason for that. And you need to be honest with yourself about it. And I think you just need to, my advice would always be, stick to a process, stick to it religiously. And then if you do that, and it's the process you've been given, then what that should do is then identify what the problem is.
Yeah.
Because the way that I look at things, I'm not really a big KPI fan, right? I think KPIs are used in completely the wrong way. And what I'm trying to get at is that, for example, if someone was coming to me at the end of the week for their one-to-one, and they've got zero CVs out for the week, or hardly any CVs out for the week, the first thing I'm going to do is, I am going to look at their calls for the week, but I don't set anyone a call target for the week or anything like that. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to look at that, and that's going to tell me one or two things. If they're making lots of calls, at least they're putting the effort in. But then maybe the problem is elsewhere. Maybe they're just calling the wrong people, right? The KPI or whatever it is should give you an idea of what the problem might be. So this is my reason. This is my logic behind sticking to your numbers, like analysing your numbers and sticking to a process. Because if you're making lots of calls, but you're still not making any placements, then potentially the problem's in between somewhere. Because first of all, if you're making lots of calls, then you've clearly put in the effort in, and you've clearly got the right work ethic. But if the end result of even the CVs aren't there, let alone the deals and the placements or whatever, then there's a problem in between. Maybe you don't understand the job properly. Maybe you're not qualifying the right candidates. Maybe you're not calling the right candidates, whatever it might be. So my advice would be, in a very long-winded way, is, first of all, it's fine. don't beat yourself up too much about it. Stick to a process, analyze your numbers, and try and find what the gap is, and then just stick to it and ask for help. That'd be my advice.
Okay, that's really good advice, Chris. And again, for our listeners, especially if you are a newer recruiter, that's coming from someone who's had a significant amount of experience, not just doing the job, but also supporting newer people coming through. Now, the academy's been running for how long? How long now, Chris?
It was literally, I said, 2 months after I started. So, what, 22 months technically, 21 months or something since September 2021. However long ago that is.
Yeah. Okay. So just on under 2 years or so.
Yeah.
And what kind of successes have you had to date? How many people have you put through it? What have the kind of key highlights been?
Not to sound too arrogant about it, Ian, but we've had loads of success, to be honest.
Good to hear.
So we've done six academies now. I think I haven't got the numbers in front of me. I'm pretty sure we've trained something like 59 people or something, right? And we've hired in total, like we hired like 65 for all of them. And I think we not even lost one per academy. So like the retention of it has been amazing for a start, right?
And what do you think that's down to, that kind of high return? I mean, that's, obviously, I suppose in recruitment, that's a significant, good retention.
Obviously, it's me. No, to be honest, I honestly don't know. And it kind of sounds a bit, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know if I want to know, because if I figure it out, I might end up ruining it or something. I don't know. But I think part of it is that it's definitely not all me, 100%. That was a joke. Like, Lauren has got an amazing culture. It is by far the best culture I've ever worked in, from a, from an employee kind of culture, help, coaching, advice, just supportive, generally, 100%. And I do obviously take some credit for it. Like the academy, I think, has been set up to, like I said, my whole philosophy behind the academy is to teach, it sounds a bit arrogant, but to teach people how to think, right? And the whole purpose of the academy is to teach people how to think. So, and I think that's part of the reason why it's succeeded and done really, really well, because it is definitely not your typical recruitment training program. Like, I would put it up against any other company's recruitment program, 100%. And it's definitely unique and it's definitely different. There are some standard stuff in there, but even that is different to what you get elsewhere. And I think it's a combination of Lorien's culture and this kind of unique program that we've got from someone who actually generally cares about it. I think that's why, part of the reason why it's been so successful, to be honest.
Yep. And obviously that, that success is come as a result of the hard work and effort that, you and some others have put into the development of the program.
Yeah.
I suppose, looking at our newer people that are coming through in the organization and that potentially listen to this podcast, what advice would you give them in terms of the importance that taking their personal development seriously can have on a kind of a longer, more fruitful, successful career?
I think it shouldn't even be a question from anyone who's coming in to do something like this. Like, and it's not your typical sales job. In fact, I'm probably going to get shot for this, but I think from a delivery point of view, I don't think recruitment's even a sales job from a delivery point of view. I think the sales element comes into it when you're doing like BD and all that kind of stuff. You can use sales elements in delivery, but I don't think it's a sales job. But it's such a unique job, and it is hard to explain to people what it's like. And I've seen that look on people's faces when they realise this isn't what I thought it would be. And again, not in a bad way. I think people shouldn't even question it. And in fact, I would be concerned if people were questioning who weren't willing or wanting to get as much help as possible. Like, you should be coming into any recruitment company and just basically being a sponge and just soaking up as much as possible, good stuff and bad stuff. Anyone should be willing and wanting to get as much help as possible. Other than that, my advice would be is that if you are willing and wanting to get the help, all a hiring manager ever wants, in my experience, is they want someone who's willing to put the effort in. And I don't mean working stupid hours. I've never let or made my team work late. They always get, in fact, they get to leave early most days. So I'm not about working stupid hours and stuff, but a hiring manager wants someone who is willing to pick up the phone and put the effort in, because that solves one problem straight away. And the other thing is that they are able to act on the things that you have told them. Like, they're going to get things wrong. Of course they are, 100%. But as long as they are willing to put the effort in the first place and then listen to what you say and act on it, that's all really a hiring manager wants to start off with, to be honest.
Okay. So some really, really good advice for our listeners out there. I suppose before we look to wrap today's podcast up, Chris,
yeah,
are there any other kind of key points or messages that you would want to leave our listeners with before we look to tie this up?
Stay safe. to be honest, I think the thing that I think people should, and this is, I suppose this would be for people that potentially are just kind of struggling and finding it hard right now, like the market is not the best, it's not terrible, but it's definitely not the best. You know, it's been busier and stuff. Like, don't panic, don't worry, don't stress yourself out. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Don't look over your shoulder and compare yourself to what anyone else is doing. Just focus on yourself, stick to a process, and you'll come out the other side of it. Do not make any rash decisions like, I don't think I can do this, or this isn't right for me, or I don't think it'd be this hard, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Lorien is a great, 100% amazing business, that the culture is there to be as supportive as possible. So for anyone that is kind of struggling with their numbers and targets and things like that right now, don't overthink it. Don't panic. Don't stress yourself out. Just be proactive about it. Do what you can. And things will change, I promise you. Like, I've seen enough market, you know, ups and downs over the years that this will, and this isn't even that bad, it won't last that long, to be honest. So I think everyone should focus on themselves and just do what they can, and just basically don't panic and just keep doing what they're doing.
Okay, that's really good, Chris. I appreciate that. And for yourself moving forward, from a support and development, is this going to, you know, be something that you continue to do? You know, you continuously looking to support all of the new people coming in, or is that likely to change in the near future?
I think it's going to be more of it, to be honest. It sounds like the academy is going on the road to a certain extent, kind of on the flip side to it, from a kind of charitable point of view. I'm also doing some workshops with a mental health charity in Essex about doing like some CV writing workshops and interviewing workshops for people that find the whole kind of job seeking process a bit overwhelming and all that kind of stuff. So in the last few months, it seems like the academy is kind of, even though it's been going for nearly 2 years, in the last few months, it seems to kind of just kind of taken off in terms of like its reputation or brand internally. So I think by this time next year, it won't just be the academy anymore. There'll be other things that I'm doing or that are kind of put under the academy umbrella, shall we say.
So definitely one to keep you busy. And then if
I decide, 100%. Yeah. I can't get enough of it. Definitely keep you busy, which is good. And I generally really enjoy it. So, but yeah, I don't know when the next academy is happening, probably towards the end of the year, but there's other stuff that's happening in between that, again, for the other brands and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's definitely not going anywhere.
Great stuff. Okay, Chris, well, listen, we really appreciate, and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate you taking the time out to join us today and to give us some really, really good advice. Thank you very much for that. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the not too distant future, Chris.
Yeah, no worries. I hope you didn't mind me rambling on. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you having me on.
No worries, buddy.
Thanks for listening, and watch out for the next episode of Diary of a Serial Killer.